From Cortland, New York, America's smallest small city, it's the Nerd Bomber Podcast, featuring the best news, entertainment, and related discussion that pop culture has to offer. And now, your hosts and experts in anti-social media, Just Jamie and your friend Claude! Ladies, gentlemen, millennials, welcome once again to the Nerd Bomber Podcast. I am your friend Claude, and joining me today via phone is...
Just Jamie.
And we're devoting the entire show to the current state of DC Comics. So, it's been a little while since we've started a show with our 3-2-1 Pop segment. So, in order to rectify that, and... to handle all of the news and information coming out of DC Comics these days, we're going to reach back in the past and dust off an old tradition by making a full-length episode of...
3-2-1
Pop!
And for anybody who doesn't still remember, 3-2-1 Pop is, of course, the part of the show where we take three pop culture headlines and rank them as we see fit. Coming in at number three on this installment... is a breakdown of the DC Comics layoffs that have taken place recently in the comic publishing arm of the company. It's so expansive that articles have referred to it as a bloodbath.
Oof.
Throughout Warner Brothers' entire company, as many as 600 people were laid off. In the DC area of it specifically, there were no concrete numbers given, but a lot of senior staffers in particular were let go because this seems to be motivated by, I guess, a kind of a typical corporate move, minimizing costs to maximize corporate profits. And since AT&T and Warner have merged recently, their motivation seems to be cutting out as many high-ranking employees as possible because naturally those employees make more money. On the list for those senior staff members are Editor-in-Chief Bob Harris, who comic book fans should know. He was a big player at Marvel in the early 90s. I remember seeing his name all over stuff. I feel like he had a strong X-Men association. Also on the list was Senior Vice President of Publishing Strategy and Support Services, Hank Canals, Vice President Bobby Chase, and editors Brian Cunningham, Mark Doyle, and Andy Corey. And honestly, part of the controversy here is that these layoffs were first publicly found out about through a tweet. So,
aye.
Yeah, the fun keeps going. Comics legend Jim Lee is basically the sole remaining recognizable senior staffer left at DC Comics. He has been a publisher since 2010 and chief creative officer since 2018. And he is basically being used to do public damage control by the company and sort of downplay the severity of all that's going on there. Meanwhile, Rob Liefeld is sort of disputing that and throwing in his two cents, probably to, you know, latch on to some relevance and get his name back in a current controversy and things like that. It's interesting, given the history between Jim Lee and Rob Liefeld, that Liefeld would be so publicly contentious. But, you know, everybody's got to find a way to stay in that spotlight. So, fun times at DC Comics.
So I wasn't super familiar with any of this going in. You know, you kind of took the lead on this part of the show. But, I mean, it is obvious that, you know, DC, anything having to do with their comic book, not just the print media division, but just those characters in general, Jim Lee is usually right out in front because he is such a recognizable face in the comics culture. So, yeah, he might be in the tough spot of having to sort of tie a bow on all this grim news and tell everybody how okay it is.
Absolutely. And it's actually not being made any easier because a famous former colleague of his, in the form of One, Rob Liefeld is speaking out publicly and kind of contradicting everything Jim Lee has stated. It's sort of, though he doesn't work with DC at all, he's almost in real time, like, trying to debunk or, you know, contradict everything and kind of make Jim Lee's life harder in a few ways. So that's an interesting move on his part.
I mean, you know, it's an interesting clash there because, you know, those guys are both from sort of the image movement from the 90s, of course, and them and Todd McFarlane and Eric Larson, among others. And part of that was to escape that corporate structure, and Jim Lee was one of the first ones to, like, jump right back into that corporate structure. So, you know, I can't help but wonder, I don't know, I don't want to engage in too much, like, gossipy nonsense here, but yeah. I can't help but wonder sort of that is frowned upon by those other guys. You know, most of those guys have made plenty of money. Liefeld and McFarlane in particular have made millions and millions off of what they do and what they've done. But nevertheless, I think there's still that underlying thing where you don't align yourself with the big corporate superpower, although McFarlane has become his own corporate superpower. But still, I think there's probably still that that side of him. And certainly I would think that Liefeld would have that that instinct as well.
Right. The other two big pieces of this announcement, they have also completely shut down both DC Collectibles, which used to be known as DC Direct, and it was the part of the company that sold high-end action figures and merchandise directly to comic book shops and other retailers, totally gone, as well as the fairly still new DC Universe streaming service that we've talked about in the not-too-distant past on this show.
Wow.
It, too, has been completely shut down in an effort to focus on HBO Max for all streaming needs and services going forward.
Right, right.
So, yeah, this is, I mean, it's an ongoing developing story, but that is the nitty-gritty, and it is pretty gritty.
Yeah, it's probably, unfortunately, it's another symptom of the death of print media too. I mean, that probably has that's an important part of the equation, although obviously DC is very much diversified from being all about print media, but I think that still is an important factor here.
Yeah, without a doubt. Sign of the times.
Yep.
Coming in at number two is an interesting counterpoint to the rather grim in-house DC Comics news. The movie side of the company is booming and is poised for quite a resurgence. Recently, DC Comics held several virtual convention events called Fandome. And at these events, they revealed detailed looks at many of their upcoming film and TV properties, as well as games and cartoons and things of that nature. Among those is the best and kind of largest look at the long-awaited Snyder Cut of the Justice League movie.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thanks, guys. It's awesome to be here at DC Fandom. This is amazing. It's been quite a journey with the DC fans, and I've had a great time bringing some of these beloved DC titles to the big screen. And the Justice League really is, for me, and in this format, an amazing crown jewel. As a community, you were able to make this thing happen. We really appreciate it.
The company premiered quite a lengthy teaser trailer, and I would imagine that it's probably going to be the best look we're going to get at the actual kind of details and the new elements that are added to this version of the movie before it actually premieres. I think they also revealed how it's going to be distributed or shown.
Yes.
So, what did you think?
Officially titled Zack Snyder's Justice League. You know, the trailer that they show was basically the fan service of the teases that Zack Snyder's been putting out for months.
Right.
Images that we've seen and things like that, ever since it kind of became obvious that this is actually going to happen. What seemed like a pipe dream is actually going to happen. He's going to get to put out his version of the movie. And as soon as that kind of became obvious, it's like, oh, here's what Steppenwolf should have looked like, and here's what Darkseid might have looked like, and here's the black suit for Superman, etc. And the movie, the trailer, that is, shows you all that stuff. Starts right off by showing you Darkseid front and center, first thing, which is a surprising move. You'd think they'd save that for the end, but he's just like, here it is. So it's interesting. They said they were going to release it in it's going to be 4 hours total. They're going to release it in 4 1-hour shows as a miniseries. I don't think they have details yet about if that's going to be like 4 consecutive nights or, you know, every Monday for 4 weeks or whatever. But after it releases in that way, it will then be cut together into one movie that you can watch. This is all going to be on HBO Max. So what are my thoughts about it? A little complicated because the whole release the Snyder Cut movement I found to be a little annoying and off-putting because the internet's presence for that seemed to be populated by really, I don't know, frustrating, annoying, obnoxious people. However, I do think it's cool that this creator is getting a chance to put out his version of the thing in the face of the corporate element that acted against his creative vision. So in that way, I can very much appreciate that it's happening. On the other hand, I'm not a big fan of Snyder's vision of the DC universe.
Right.
The Justice League movie was a Frankenstein mess made by two different people. The rumor is that Joss Whedon wrote like 80 new pages of script. It only included about like 10% of Snyder's shots. But it didn't matter because for all the, and I don't even, you know, with the Whedon and the Ray Fisher stuff and Warner Brothers launching an investigation into Whedon, you know, abusing the cast and being untoward. Aside from all that, Joss Whedon's made really good stuff, but he couldn't save Justice League. It was a mess. That movie was bad. But I'm not a big fan of Snyder's vision of things with Batman versus Superman either. So, because I think that movie was kind of a murky, muddled mess of a film. So I can't say that I'm looking forward to the Snyder Cut as some sort of the vision of what the DC universe could have been on film, or that I'm super excited to see what it's going to be like, because I haven't been a big fan of his style with these movies. Even like, I'm not at all impressed with what Darkseid looks like. The redesigned Steppenwolf, like, okay, it looks like the concept art that he released. Like, it's true to that vision again, but I don't really care for the aesthetics of it very much. It looks very fake.
Yeah.
Maybe there's still CG work to be done on Darkseid, for instance, but it looks like a well-made video game cutscene at the beginning, in my opinion. I don't know. I'm interested because of the process that got us to this point, and I am curious enough to watch it at some point, although I don't have HBO Max. It's an expensive service, and it's not on Roku, so I'm out of luck for a while.
Yeah, I agree. It's a weird feeling. I'm all for Zack Snyder being given this chance, especially when you examine the way that everything kind of led to his not being involved in the movie originally. It's a pretty specifically horrific chain of events, and like, it's nice that he gets kind of a second crack at it, or you know, just, I guess, vindication or justice in some way. Pun intended. And like, part of me is really excited because this is almost like getting to see, it's not just justice for Zack Snyder in a way, it's almost like justice for Richard Donner. Like, what would have happened back in the 80s if he had been given the chance to take Superman 2 back from Richard Lester and return his own vision much earlier and salvage it in a much more cohesive way than what eventually happened years and years later with the Donner Cut version. So this is like, you know, almost actually getting to see that like really happen. And I just wish gave a shit about any of these modern DC movies, like tentpole movies anyway. And like you said, like, I really am not a fan of Snyder's aesthetic, the treatment of the characters, the costume design, and the cinematography. The music, I don't like any of it, but, I'm very excited in a way that this, you know, a wrong was righted, a legitimate wrong was righted.
Yeah, I think we pretty much agree that it's nice to see that he's getting a chance to put forth his true creative vision. It's just that we don't expect to like his creative vision very much.
Right.
And I appreciate the chance he's getting to do it.
Congratulations to everybody who's really stoked about this and who really, really likes it for what it is. Enjoy.
Yep, absolutely. 100%.
All right. Well, I think it's time for our number one DC Comics related story. And that comes from the huge 24-hour Fandome virtual convention event. And all of the other movies that had trailers and I guess behind the scenes vignettes debut. It was quite a decent amount.
Yeah. The first one maybe we should mention just because it has the least going on was the Black Adam package that they released. Black Adam, of course, is the nemesis of Shazam, formerly known as Captain Marvel, but DC can't call him that, so it's just Shazam.
Right.
Black Adam is going to be played by Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. Now, they released something for it, but there's not much to it because the movie's not in production yet. So they basically released a series of still images that were penciled by Jim Lee, and the colors were rendered by Boss Logic, so it all kind of looks like movie poster art, with a voiceover done by Dwayne Johnson telling something of the backstory of Black Adam. So, you know, a lot of people are very excited about this movie. I'm kind of looking forward to it myself. I see DC going in an interesting direction with the films, away from what they thought they were doing into something else. You know, they were trying to compete with the MCU under Snyder's leadership. It didn't seem to be working out. It seems like they're going a little bit in different directions now, which I'm okay with. And so I'm curious how this turns out, curious enough to want to watch it, but they didn't give us much. I mean, like I said, it's not in production yet. It's just a bunch of still images and Dwayne Johnson's voice. So something to look forward to, but not a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I have to admit to ignorance. This is probably the one piece of this litany of releases that I just didn't see any of. I saw The Rock social media post, and it's probably pretty similar. But, yeah, I mean, what else can you say with such limited content available?
Yep. I mean, you know, they want to start the hype train moving early, and so I totally appreciate that. But, yeah, just not a lot going on.
Right.
The next thing that I'll mention is the new Suicide Squad film. Now, the first Suicide Squad, much like a lot of the DC movies from that first wave, was derided, not well-liked, and generally not very good. I mean, it's kind of, in my opinion, it was interesting to look at. I didn't hate watching it, but it didn't make much sense. I mean, the characters were all over the place. The story was all over the place. It had a lot of problems, but it made a lot of money. So enough to justify a sequel. But they've handed over the creative power to James Gunn, most recently of Guardians of the Galaxy fame. So this one I'm a little bit more interested in. Now, the package that they released for this on Fandome was not really a trailer either. It did feature some footage from the film, but a lot of it was behind the scenes, little comments and asides made by either the director, James Gunn, or an actor here or there. Like John Cena says a little something about his character. Idris Elba says a little something. Viola Davis says a little something. They show kind of behind the scenes imagery of them shooting the film. James Gunn says it's the biggest film he's ever been a part of, which is hard to believe given what he's made in the past,
right?
Specifically the Guardians movies. But so this one, you know, stirred up a little interest too. And I'm interested in it as well. I mean, I was hopeful about the first Suicide Squad movie. There are things about it that I like, things about it that I don't like at all. I'm definitely willing to give this a chance, as I am with most of the DC films, but just because of the track record of DC films so far, I'm always a little trepidatious about it, but I am curious enough to want to see it.
Yeah, I did not see the original or the previous Suicide Squad movie. I just was turned off by everything about it. And I give it credit for being in many ways a lot different than my complaints with the Snyder style and approach.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just something, it just happened to be different in a way that I'm also not interested in.
apparently there's also a release, the air cut of the original Suicide Squad, because apparently the studio stepped in and messed with his vision of the movie as well. So we'll see what happens with that.
Right. Yeah, actually I do remember that being an issue back when it happened. I mean, studio meddling is never a good thing, is it? I mean, has it ever resulted in any, like, truly positive, like, man, thank God they did this?
I can't imagine that ever being the case. Right. And that executive really made the right call there.
Yeah. No. Yeah, that committee of corporate yes men just has their finger on the pulse of this comic book story.
Yeah. I don't think that's ever been the case.
But when I saw what kind of came out for this second Suicide Squad movie, the clips of the look of the movie and the amazing goddamn poster.
Yep. It's a good one.
I'm a lot more interested. And actually, I gotta go back even further and admit to what actually initially raised my eyebrow was the reveal of just the logo. Just that alone was like, this looks literally like the exact comic book logo off the cover. They didn't try to like reimagine it or, you know, change it. And
Gunn specifically looked to the comics for inspiration, specifically the 80s version, which is nice that a director would be like, I want to actually see what the material is I'm working instead of trying to, I mean, I'm sure he'll put his own, you know, aesthetic on things, but it's nice when they say, like, you know, they're not sort of above the material, where he's actually looking back at it and saying, how can we take from what there already is?
Right. And if you, I mean, like you said, if you look at some of the, first of all, it seems to have a giant assortment of characters involved. And if you look at some of those,
some are going to die.
Oh yeah. I would have to imagine many, in that little, kind of hype package, somebody, mentions that it's kind of a gritty war movie mixed with James Gunn's comedy and action style. So if it's a war movie, yeah, I have to imagine half of those characters are gone. But if you look at some of those individual characters, John Cena's that you mentioned, I mean, he doesn't seem to be a super serious, you know, character. It almost seems literally like a direct translation of a comic or like a cartoonish approach. And that also makes me very curious.
All right, cool. So the next one was something we've already seen a lot of. There's already been teasers and a trailer, and that's Wonder Woman 1984.
Needs you know what you need to do.
Nothing good is born from lies, and greatness is not what you think.
The trailer we see at FanDom shows a little bit more. Shows a lot more of Kristen Wiig and shows her in full cheetah mode. And a lot of sort of the cool stuff people like from the original trailer, you know, she's swinging on lightning bolts and things like that. You see a little bit more of Christopher, of Chris Pine, that is, as Steve Trevor. Some funny moments there. It's going to be some fish out of water stuff. You know, I'm not so on board. I don't mean to be like a bummer about it, because the first Wonder Woman was really well liked. I think, unfortunately, it stands out because the rest of the DC movies at that time were just not very good. So because it was solid, it had a low bar to overcome. And Gal Gadot is great as Wonder Woman, 100% behind her, no doubt about it. But I don't know. I'm just not super psyched about this movie. I mean, the 84 stuff could be fun. Maybe I'll be won over at some point. One of the things that to me is always underwhelming is they're making a big deal about this, Golden Eagle armor. But to me, it looks kind of dorky. I don't know what it is, and I can't quite put my finger on it, but I don't think it looks great on screen. I'm not super impressed with the effects as they exist now with Cheetah. It kind of suffers from the same thing that I was talking about earlier with the Justice League, where she just doesn't really look like she's actually in the same world as the physical real characters are.
Right.
Maybe that'll be improved over time. I will probably see this movie. I don't expect to hate it, but I just can't get myself hyped.
Well, going into this, this was what I was most excited about. But Suicide Squad did a great job of knocking that back a peg. I am still interested. I'm still excited to a point. But some of those same critiques that you have are ones that I share. I was mostly really turned off by the look at the cheetah character that they gave us. I felt kind of the same way. I was very unimpressed and underwhelmed. And I was actually kind of surprised that they went with as much of a reveal as they did.
Right, yeah.
I also, this happened from like the first, smallest teaser for this movie. I was also kind of surprised that they went with just blatantly being like, yep, Steve Trevor's alive. I mean, it's not something that anybody's shocked by, but just to put it out there and make it like a repetitive part of the marketing material, just it's an interesting move.
Right. And it all seemingly is played for laughs too. Like, yeah, he's the comic relief here.
I will say about her eagle armor, it's confusing to me. I get it from a costume design standpoint, and you know, it's a kind of a showpiece in that regard, and it looks cool on film or whatever. But it doesn't. They're treating it almost like it's this big, like, look what we did. We gave her her bird armor. Like, that's not a Wonder Woman thing. That's like, as far as I know, that comes from the Alex Ross Kingdom Come, you know, miniseries or whatever it was. It's its own thing. It's not like this grand thing from Wonder Woman's history. It's not like her invisible jet, let's say.
Right. No, that's a good point. I mean, lately DC has loved referring to Kingdom Come with some of their imagery. They did it with the TV crossover when Kevin Conroy playing a decrepit old Bruce Wayne with wearing the exosuit, exoskeleton thing all the time.
Yep.
And I want greatness because this character deserves it, having been around just as long as Batman, Superman, or close to it. And so I want Wonder Woman movies to be as good as they can be, partly for that reason, just the legacy of the character.
Right, and it's a character that is, right, you know, on it's the she's the third piece of the trifecta there. She's absolutely on equal standing with both Batman and Superman. So
right, yeah.
Yeah, she deserves, you know, as much cinematic justice as possible. I think the first Wonder Woman movie was two-thirds of an excellent movie, and the third act was pretty crappy, in my opinion.
I think that's probably fair.
Yeah, I just don't want, and I absolutely am going to see the sequel, but I'm just fingers crossed here that it's not a case of, you know, the first movie was good and only the first trailer was good for the second movie. Because that first trailer cut to the music, the 80s music and everything, just, I thought that was awesome.
Right. That's one thing that always wins Claude's heart.
Yeah, make a good music video, man. I'm all in. But then show me, you know, a weird-looking cheetah and goofy bird armor and a whole lot of comic relief Chris Pine in the pseudo Michael Jackson Thriller outfit, and my boner starts to go down a bit.
On that note,
yeah,
we'll move on to the last big film reveal of the fandom event. Is the first, I guess this would be a teaser of the new upcoming Matt Reeves The Batman film.
The hell are you supposed to be?
I'm vengeance.
This guy's crazy.
This is a big one.
Yeah. It seems to have been the thing that's gotten the strongest reaction on the internet. And honestly, it got the strongest reaction out of me too, because I was surprised at myself because this is not something I've been looking forward to. Despite my criticisms of the recent versions of the DC movies, I always thought Ben Affleck made a good Batman. I know that we don't necessarily agree on these things. I like the chunky, you know, Dark Knight version of his suit. I like a lot of what they had going on. So the fact that they were going to recast it and do another reboot of Batman, I was just like, eh. I was rolling my eyes about it. Then they hire Robert Pattinson, and I rolled my eyes again. And then we saw the first images of the suit in the car, and I rolled my eyes a third and a fourth time. But then the trailer came out, and I really, really, really enjoyed it. I know me and you had a conversation with a mutual friend, and I kind of talked about how I liked some of it. I've watched it a few times since then, and I like it more and more. And I surprised myself with all this. I think the suit looks really good on screen. Whatever criticisms I had of it from the imagery that we saw from a production photo online a few months ago, whatever the differences are, it looks great in motion, looks great on screen. He looks good in the suit. I'm not totally sold on this sort of like, you know, emo, long-haired Bruce Wayne, but whatever. The other thing that interests me about the trailer, now only 25% of the movie's been shot, so a lot can change. But one thing that's interested me about the trailer is that it seems almost claustrophobic, but I think that could be a good thing. They're taking the scale of a Batman story way down from where they've been for the last 20 years, telling these huge epic superhero movies. And I think that's really right for the character, to bring it down, actually show him being a detective, being an investigator, you know, beating up some bad guys here and there.
Yeah.
So what I see from the trailer has me really, really intrigued.
I had some reactions as well. mostly negative. I'm intrigued by some of it. I probably rolled my eyes at the announcement of Robert Pattinson being cast. It's not something, I mean, it would never be a choice I would make. It would never be like, oh man, that's great. But ultimately, it's kind of whatever, and it's not my biggest issue. I really still don't like the costume, and I don't like, I guess, the artsiness of it. I don't know. I keep waiting for somebody to, and I saying this as a Tim Burton Batman fan is a little ironic, but I keep waiting for a Batman movie to come out that puts like, that I guess that gives it the Suicide Squad treatment, the Suicide Squad under James Gunn treatment, where it looks and feels like it is straight out of the comics, and it is like character first and not about, well, I'm the director this time and I have to put my artistic statement on it. I'm kind of over that. But I will say that there are certain elements of this one that seem to harken back a bit to some of the Nolan feel, which I guess if that's the case, it wouldn't be a surprise, since that was the most successful version of Batman, I would imagine. Certainly the longest running. But I do like, if there is going to be the detective element of Batman put front and center, that is something that is massively overdue for Batman in a movie depiction. Because it's never really, I mean, you see pieces of it here and there, but that's always kind of lost or like treated as an afterthought. But that is a major component of the character of Batman. And, you know, it's about time it gets treated the way it deserves in a movie.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think I said as much. You know, part of bringing the scale down is bringing to the forefront some of those qualities. It's interesting that you say you don't like the artsiness of it. I mean, I think that there's definitely, like I said, this emo quality to Bruce Wayne that might make it seem artsy. But to me, the imagery of it looks very, I don't want to say bland, but it doesn't strike me as being overly artsy. It's not something like the Joker that I've never had any interest in, the Joaquin Phoenix version. It looks like something that's been pared down both in scale and in style. I mean, we haven't seen much, so I guess there's a lot left to be said about it. We have to, you know, get a better idea of what we're going to be looking at here.
Right.
But I kind of see the opposite of it. The other thing is, you said it reminds you of Nolan.
certain elements. It's not a huge thing.
I can buy that. I've seen that online. But actually, I am reminded of the Tim Burton version of Batman. Well, of the movies. Not so much in the fantastical stylings of the way Burton put those movies together. It's like timeless, old-timey version of a major... You know, there's one spot in particular. There's a car crash. He kind of knocks a guy out of the way. The buildings are right behind him. It doesn't feel like a real city. It doesn't feel like something that would be in a Nolan movie. It feels like something that would be something closer to what Tim Burton would put on the screen. I mean, it's hard to compare those two things. Again, we have a very small sample here. But from the fact that I can see those elements, but I'm reminded more of the Keaton Burton version of things. Again, from our very small sample of it. The only difference, well, the biggest difference being like side characters are not cartoon characters. You know, Commissioner Gordon from the Tim Burton Batman movies is a ridiculous caricature.
Yeah.
And the version that we see in the trailer for this movie seems like an actual human being. So I come away from DC fandom being most excited for this, but there's also for the potential for the biggest letdown here too.
Sure. Yeah. It's walking a pretty dangerous tightrope.
You know, it suffers from the Spider-Man thing where it's like, okay, it better be really good because we've all seen this before.
Right.
We all know what's going on with Batman at this point. Like, you got to make it interesting or different enough to capture the attention without just telling the same old story.
You know, I also don't think it would be a giant surprise if we were both right and that they had kind of intentionally pulled things from both Tim Burton and Christopher Nolan being, you know, again, these are the two treatments of Batman that have just been the most far and away successful and popular.
Right.
While also clearly, you know, going into a new direction. And I don't know, for me, granted, you've said you've watched the trailer several times. I'm still just going off one watch, my first reaction. And I felt like the paring down treatment of it was their kind of direct response of suggesting this is the Batman version counterpart to the Joaquin Phoenix Joker treatment, because that's also similarly smaller story.
Yeah, I've seen that comparison made. I certainly don't want that to be the case.
I think it's too early.
Part of the thing
tell.
I was going to say earlier about the DC movies is their willingness to have everything kind of be its own thing, and not everything has to be connected to everything else,
right?
Et cetera. So I don't expect them to even attempt to make that connection. I understand what you're saying. You're not saying it necessarily has anything to do with the actual story. It just, the aesthetics are parallel.
Yeah.
So that there's some continuity there. And I could buy that. But again, I think I'm definitely embracing a scaled down Batman story, because every other superhero movie now gets this huge epic thing because of the effects and the powers and the this and the that. But I think Batman is an attempt or is an opportunity to go in a different direction. It's kind of like over at the MCU, I kept saying, like, you know, before they ever got around to it, I was like, they should make a Black Widow movie and just make it a spy movie.
Yeah.
Seems like that's kind of what they're going to do, although I'm sure it's still going to be epic. They could even do the same thing with the Hawkeye character, whatever. You know what I mean? It would be nice to see that variability in the films, that not everything is going to look like a Thor movie. And I think that that's been something Batman movies have been lacking. They've all been these epic superhero stories instead of what Batman is supposed to be, which is really a street-level vigilante.
Right.
And detective. So I'd like to see more of that. So I'm curious and hopeful that this movie is going to do that and do it well.
We'll get to see it in ? 0, ? 1.
Yes, yeah. 30-21. Cannot wait.
Which is how we should all write the date in the year from now on. All right. I suppose that'll do it for this installment of 3-2-1 Pop. Our first episode length version in quite some time. I just want to say thank you to everybody for sticking with us and being patient between episodes. Remember, life gets in the way of fun. So it's up to all of us to make fun a way of life. I have been your friend Claude.
And I have been just Jamie.
Okay. We'll see you next time.
Later.
The Nerd Bomber Podcast is a Ghost Factory Internet production brought to you by the WHAM Network.